Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Dear listener, if you'd have told me that my 2018 Christmas would be the highlight, the viewing highlight, would be a documentary about brass, I would have laughed at you. Brass, a band I was never a big fan of, never a fan of. They weren't my thing. They weren't aimed at me. And people kept saying, you've got to watch this Brass documentary. You've got to watch this. I was going, why would I want to watch that? And then I watched it, and it's full of stuff like this.
Don't shut me down. I'm going to speak. I've listened.
All right, Luke.
I'm going to speak.
You're going to speak.
Are you? You're going to speak. Because I've just told you how I feel.
Wow. Something else, wasn't it, Kath?
Yeah, it was incredible.
It's also bits like this.
Oh, this is my favourite bit.
I think the letters H-O-M-E are so important because they personify the word home, which means it's the place that you come and you feel safe.
But this is my little cave area where I just chill out, and you can see he's got this huge crystal next to me.
I have crystals everywhere, and I'm not a hippie, but I believe in energy with every fibre of my soul.
Chess, love a bit of chess. Got the, have a few glasses of scotch. Long game of chess, love it. Over here, got me picture of me and Muhammad Ali.
I don't allow arguments in this house. You know, if you want to argue in this house, you got to leave.
Here is the little kind of conversational corner.
I have a rule in my house. If you break it, you fix it. But you can break anything you want.
This is one of the loves of my life. This is Alfred, my bulldog. I got him painted. I had him painted holding a pint of beer.
It's not a place where you can't move the cushions or you can't just crash and throw everything. And as long as you, when you leave, like, you know, make the bed.
It is great. It is great for so many reasons, right? And if you've not seen it, it's on BBC iPlayer. I thoroughly recommend. I give you permission, in about 20 minutes' time, when we finish this bit of the show, I'll give you permission to switch off our show and go and watch Brass, and then give us a call afterwards when you've seen it.
Well, watch Brass for the first time, because you will want to watch it again.
Yeah. I'm so thrilled. We've got the director of the documentary on the show now. It's Joe Pearlman. Good evening, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, mate?
Mate, it's going very, very well. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You owned Christmas.
That's not something I thought you'd be saying about a Brass film, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, man, it's gone down incredibly well. Couldn't be happier, and yeah, really happy to be speaking
good.
To you guys.
Good. Well, thank you. You should be very, very proud of yourself, because it was the thing, Catherine, yep. Wasn't it? The one programme that everyone was talking
and
about.
Everyone I'm talking to has their favourite bit, whether it's the Bulldog bit, whether it's the Stevie Wonder mention, whether it's, Conkers. That became a hashtag.
So we'll pick out specific bits in a minute, but how did you get this gig? What was did you pitch it to them? Did they pitch it to you? How did it happen?
No, so it kind of came about a bit organically. So it was actually a co-directed with a guy called David Sutar. We worked very closely together on a lot of things. And I believe he got a text from the tour manager at the time, Steve Martin, saying they're coming back. What do you think? And then there was also a meeting at Live Nation, and they were mentioned again. And after a few mentions, we thought, you know what, let's go and meet them and see what the situation is. And we sat down with them at in LA at the beginning of, not last year, the year before. And yeah, we kind of knew we wanted to tell their story and also how, you know, amazing documentary characters they are. That we were in immediately.
How many minutes did it take for you to realise that there was something pretty special about these two?
I'd say pretty instantly. The first kind of conversations with Matt and Luke, some of the lines that were kind of coming out even at that meeting, you already knew these are the kind of documentary characters that you really dream about having. And yeah, they gave us absolutely everything.
Here's the thing, man. It's a funny film, right? And it's quotable. People compare it to Spinal Tap, that Metallica documentary, The Office, all of that. But. There is also, I'm going to use the J word, there's that heartwarming journey towards, I don't know, I'm going to call it a reconciliation between two estranged brothers, the success of the concert, you know, they're fighting, bickering constantly throughout the film. Then at the end, you get to see their genuine love and affection for each other. So there's the funny element of it, but it is also a beautiful story.
Very much so. And that's kind of what we were pushing for all along because, you know, the opportunity to take the piss, just like everyone did in the 80s, I think is always there. And that wasn't the intention by any means of what we were trying to do. When we met with the guys the first time, it was very clear that as well as being great characters, they also had an unbelievable story that they wanted to tell. They had a lot of pain between them and they were ready to start talking. Remember, they hadn't spoken. They'd spoken off and on for about, you know, 25 years.
Wow.
And that's a long time, the twins. So they were kind of ready to start talking amazingly in front of cameras. And they, you know, yeah, as I said before, they kind of gave everything, fights and all.
How amazing a drummer is Luke Goss? I mean, when did that... He's got the biggest drum kit in the world. But flipping heck, man, he's incredible.
He is. He's an amazing drummer. He really is. So we actually went in LA to go and choose his drum kit with him. And it's actually an extra scene on the DVD. And he picks out the most... For someone who hasn't played drums in 25 years, it is the biggest drum kit that anyone's ever seen. I mean, this is the person who, at Wembley Stadium, was suspended on a platform with his drum kit. So it's not exactly surprising that he was going to go large.
My mate, who's dead now, Chris Seavey, Frank Sidebottom, compared their gig at Wembley Stadium back in the day, and he said, I don't know if you're aware of Frank Sidebottom, the guy with the big paper mache head, he said to me, Ian, there's nothing like dying at a stadium, because he would go on and go, give us a scream if you like Luke, you know, 50,000 girls screaming, give us a scream if you like Matt, 50,000 girls scream, give us a scream if you like Betamax, silence. it was a weird old choice. They are... there were wonderful moments in it. The moment that I'm going to jump all over the place. The moment that really grabbed me, and you use it twice in the film, is that argument before, I think it's before they go and do This Morning, or they're booked to do This Morning. And it's them in the dressing room with a big old security guard, and you can see in the reflection of the mirror, you can see one or two of your film crew.
Yeah, and it's the producer,
actually, Tina Powell. Oh, well done her for staying there, because it is watching it through a screen. It's tense. It's like a version of the Trogs tape. It's horrendous. Were you in that room when that was happening?
I was. I was tucked away in the corner with a camera slammed against my face and trying not to look at anyone and trying not to break their gaze, so it kind of continued in front of us. But that was kind of a build-up towards that argument with rehearsals, and they had the fight that you see in rehearsals the day before. So, that morning when I met Matt outside of This Morning, it was very clear that he was ready to have a fight. And we're not exactly, you know, you don't try and influence these things, but when those kind of things happen, you just sit in the corner. And
how many of you were in that room with them while that was going on?
Two of us.
Just the two of you. And it must have been incredibly uncomfortable for you. How long did that row go on for?
That was a 25-minute fight.
Mate!
But you get used to it. I mean, the thing is, we were with these guys for six months, and there was a lot of fights, and there was a lot of, as you can imagine, it was very intense filming with them. It's that thing of being a documentary stonker, you just kind of vanish into the background, and these things kind of play out in front of you, and... You step outside and you're like, wow.
Were there any bits or any moments where they said, do you know what, I'd prefer it if you didn't put that out? Or did you have complete freedom?
Nothing. We had complete freedom. Wow. They saw the film the first time, which was a finished cut. in Los Angeles a couple of weeks before we actually showed it at Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas. So yeah, there was nothing. They didn't want to change anything.
That's amazing.
The film. Yeah,
that is well played them, because that is amazing. Particularly pop stars who are very keen on their image.
Also, both of those guys are super conscious of what's happened before with them in the industry. Very burnt by it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, very guarded as to how they're represented both to each other and to the public, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think the honesty is the big thing that came through. And I take my hat off to them, you know, for this, because they couldn't have been more honest and more earnest.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing. It's all you ever hope for when you make a film like this. And I think also when they saw the film, and I think throughout the process as well, they kind of trusted that we were doing them, you know, doing the right thing by them and telling the story that they wanted to tell, and including the stuff with the mum and the sister, and the emotional journey throughout that as well. And it was the story of, you know, two brothers coming together over music and over pain and over family to come and try and get together and do the gig and kind of reconcile the relationship. So it's, I think they were just really happy with it.
It's an age-old story of generally very young men, quite often sometimes young women, but generally very young men being exploited, being abused, being, and I don't, you know, I mean it within an industry, you know, having every little last dollar and cent squeezed out of them, and then, right, you can get lost, let's move on to the next lot. It's a classic pop story. How damaged were they, do you think, by the first go on the merry-go-round?
I think they were very damaged, and I think they are still have some damage to this day from that experience. I think it was extremely painful. I think they trusted people who they thought were doing the right thing by them. And, you know, there's a lot of stories about them being difficult over the years and all those things of spending all the money. But I think they, you know, they entered into a bad deal, and they were young and didn't have the advice that they should have had around them. And they.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
We could be dreaming and meeting each other in our dreams.
On Talk Radio.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
What happened to... I always call him Ken the bass player.
Craig.
Because I know, because of Viz. Viz would always refer to him as Ken the bass player. Craig, of course, the forgotten third member of Bross. Was he...
He's not forgotten.
Well, no.
This question's been... I keep getting asked this question a lot, and I just want to try and set the record straight.
Go
with
on.
This one. We had an amazing interview with Craig, and it's on the DVD, and it's really great.
Oh, wow.
But I think that the story that we were trying to tell, and as we were going through the film, we knew that this was bigger than a nostalgic film about Brock.
Yeah.
And that was so important to us that, you know, there's no other talking heads in the film. You don't hear, no one's asked, what do you hear from Matt and Luke's dad? Like, he's still alive. No one asked about that, but it's about Craig. So the journey was just getting muddled by adding extra people in. And it just didn't feel like a necessary part of the story. I mean, he wasn't part of the reunion. This was clearly a story about two brothers and family reconciliation. And that was the story we were trying to tell.
You mentioned that there's a... I didn't know there was a DVD coming out. When's it coming out? Yeah. And what else is on there?
It's, it out. There is an interview with Craig, and there's a few deleted scenes which I would say in the edit we struggled not to get them in, but they're worthy of the Twitter.
Goes immediately to Amazon to order the DVD.
Order two.
Yeah, there's a dinner scene with Matt and Luke, which starts very touching and very quickly descends.
I don't even know when it went on over Christmas, because I wasn't going to watch any telly this Christmas, Joan. I just kept getting on Twitter people like Danny Baker saying everything you've heard about the Bross documentary is true. My sister's sending me quotes, you know, the Stevie Wonder bit. I learnt from Stevie Wonder, never be superstitious. When did you realise that this was more than just 2 hours of telly that had gone out of Christmas, that this was actually developing a life of its own?
I actually kind of forgot about it with everything that was going on with Christmas and that we were on TV. Originally, this was made as a film. You know, this was made for festivals, and then we did a release in the cinema, and then we were going to kind of see what was going on from there. And the BBC came in and took it for Christmas, and I kind of didn't think about it because it was a film. I didn't think about it as TV. And then you switch on Twitter whilst it's on, and everyone's talking about it, and then it kind of just snowballed over the next few days. I think we always talked about it being one of those films. It was kind of a word of mouth film. Like no one wants to. I'm the first to say this. No one really wants to go into a Bross film. I don't think that that's something that they necessarily are really, other than the fan base. And I think that we've had the ability to kind of transcend that, and that's, I'm really proud of that.
I'm going to play one bit. It's full of so many wonderful quotes and bits that you can play again and again. This became the hashtag. This just pops up from nowhere and it's wonderful.
And now you can't even play Conkers in England. Can we start a petition in on a Bross, please? Can we start an
argument
how ridiculous it is that you can't play Conkers, and if you do, you've got to wear goggles. That is the biggest problem. Can't play Conkers in England.
I can live with it.
It's just wonderful, because it comes from, they're reminiscing about the old days, then Matt goes into
what
this...
What if got a dart in the chest, went back, had it pulled out and carried on playing?
Matt goes into this rant that is actually inaccurate, but is lovely, full of passion, and Luke's like, yeah, I can live with it. You know, there are so many wonderful moments like that. Were there any bits, other bits like that, where you just didn't have the time to put them in, you didn't have the space?
The DVD extras, there's three or four scenes on there that we wished we could have put in the film. There's a couple of things that didn't make it, which are very, like, there's a scene with Matt playing poker with a group of his mates, which is very entertaining. But yeah, there were a lot of scenes like that. And that, you know, that was the hardest. That was the really hard part, is also having all these funny moments and having all these amazing metaphors, as we like to call them.
I like that, metaphors. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, but at the same time, being able to take you on that emotional journey and get you to the end and get you loving the boys by the end.
Yeah, and that is it. Here's the thing, you know, what year were Bross? 83, 84? Maybe a bit later than that.
No, much later. Yeah. 88, 89.
Was it that late? Here's the thing, I was a 14, 15-year-old kid, and I was into the Beatles and the Beach Boys, and I hated them. And when everyone is saying, you've got to watch this Bross documentary, oh, man, really? I don't want to. And then I was with my boys, and they fell asleep early on my lap, and I thought, well, I'll put the first 10 minutes on. But you're right, It transcended the fandom. It transcended what people, they may have been in the late 80s. It's just a joyous, wonderful, wonderful film. Full of, how do they, because there are some people that have, and I think this is a little bit mean, there are some people that have gone straight in for the joke, going, oh, well, they're thick. You know, they're coming out with all these, you've got to be on the right page, all these wonderful little lines and quotes. And some people, I think, have unfairly attacked them for being thick or whatever. Have the boys, I don't know if you've spoken to them, have they picked up on that? Are they aware of that? Or are they just aware of the love that's going their way now?
I texted Luke a little bit. I've spoken to Matt. Matt was a little bit aware of what was going on on Twitter. But I would say that the positivity by far outweighs any negativeness. And even the negativeness is, you're saying funny lines. And anyone saying this is, you know, this could be scripted by Ricky Gervais and those people, I mean, that's a compliment in anyone's eyes. So when I spoke to Matt, I said that he had to embrace it, and he absolutely has.
Yeah.
He signed the Conkers petition, as you can see on his Twitter, and he's getting involved, because that, you know, you can't, you have to do that.
The Mail Online have picked up on it. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're talking about the fact that so many people believe it's so funny that it must be scripted, that it can't be real. I mean, what would you say to those people?
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very, very real. I lived it. Trust me, it's real. We played it in America again at Fantastic Fest in a room full of Americans who had no idea who Bross were. Heard of Luke, actually, because of the films, but no idea who the band were. And you, within the first few minutes, you had people coming up to us at the front of the screen asking us if it was a mockumentary.
Wow.
Well,
that's a great compliment as well, isn't it? That you could, be so clever to spoof that kind of thing.
I guess, to be compared to The Office, Partridge, Spinal Tap,
yeah,
any of those things, it's, yeah.
I've watched it twice. I know loads of my friends have watched it.
I'm on my third go.
Yeah, watched it again and again. And that just, Joe, that just doesn't happen, man. That doesn't happen. And you, honestly, you should be so proud of yourself because you've made a beautiful film and hilarious film. Right? It's funny, man. It's really funny. But it is also a beautiful journey. It is a great, discovery of these two people that we think we know, but actually we don't. And it's you've made a classic movie.
Yeah, I think people were ready for it. You know, you look on Twitter at the moment, so much moaning, so much division, and actually everyone is kind of on the same page when it comes to this one. And it's a good job they're on the same page, because otherwise they'd be on a different page. And if they're on a different page,
come on now, come on now.
So
this is out on DVD now. What is next? What's your next project?
I'm not sure at the moment. I just finished a film about the inner workings of Bitcoin. I've been following some of the kind of big players in that world, which has been quite interesting over the last year. And then I'm not sure. There's a lot of kind of things that we're talking about, going around. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully lots of interesting stuff.
The world is your oyster. Honestly, you've made one of the classic music documentaries of all time, and that's easily in the top five. Listen, Joe, anytime you've got anything else coming out, give us a call. You'd be very, very welcome on, mate. Thank you so much for your time and for making the film.
No, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
I will watch whatever he puts out.
Oh, man. It's so good. It's on BBC iPlayer. Thoroughly recommend it. I'm getting the DVD. There's bonus footage in the DVD. Goodness.
And you know what? Hats off to the Goss Boys for allowing all that stuff to go out.
Don't take Matt's hat off.
No.
I think he'd be unhappy with that, unless he's prepared. you're right, though. Well done for not... It would be so easy to go, right, we'll take that argument out.
Well, that makes me look a bit silly. Take that out.
It's a joy. Thank you, Joe. This is the Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee. This is Catherine Boyle over there.
Me.
0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.